Right, Love Talk Radio. Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight is a very special show. I got two of my homeboys from the military up here tonight. We're going to kick back. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about some stuff that's going on in the world right now. But once again, I'm Lee. Keys, me and him will be rapping probably tomorrow night about the same time. But I'm going to let my homeboy, Craig, introduce himself to the masses. Go ahead, Craig, the floor is yours. Introduce yourself, bro.
All right. Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me on. My name is Craig McGee. I'm retired from the United States Air Force. I'm definitely enjoying retirement, kicking back, riding my Harley. And I'm glad I'm able to connect to my boy. It's been a while since we connected. And, and he asked me to, be a part of this. And, I got to support my man, my brother from another mother.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it, man. We waiting on one of our other partners to pop up. So, me and Craig probably will have a little bit of small talk until my man log on. But me and Craig was deployed together in Qatar. And me and Craig, it was funny because Craig was on the best basketball team and I was on the worst basketball team. And I remember Craig was like, man, I ain't going to play against y'all tonight, man. I'm going to save my legs. I was like, come on, Craig, man, you got to play, man. You can't do your boy like that. Craig came out there and gave us like a quick 15. I was like, yeah, man, go sit your ass down, man. I'll see you at the beer tent later, man. But hold on, I think X is on right now. Hold on, let me jump him in real quick. What's up, right, man? Fred, you there?
Yeah, hey, what's up, man?
Nah, man. Well, this is my homeboy, Fred. I'm going to let him introduce himself to the masses. Go ahead, Fan, introduce yourself, bro.
Oh, man, I don't really know what to say. hey, Xavier Frederick, X-Man, a military vet. Y'all my brothers. We've been going hard for, a couple of decades now?
Yeah, 98.
98, yep.
So, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's about it,
Yeah, man, I was I was telling on the people. I said we're gonna have some fun tonight. We're gonna have a little bit of serious talk also. But I want to say thank you both for joining me tonight. I asked you guys think about a week and a half ago to jump on the show, but I didn't know that none of us knew what would be going on in the world. Would be going on. I thought we'd be up here have some. We still gonna have some fun, but we're gonna talk about what's going on right now. I'm going to start with Craig on this one because it's his team. A few years ago, man, when Kaepernick took the knee, everybody was switching up the narrative saying Kaepernick not being respectful to the flag and to the military and all that. Me, I'll voice my opinion last. But, Craig, you've been a 49er fan and a vet yourself. How did you feel about Kaepernick taking the knee?
I had no problem with Kaepernick taking a knee because that's what we serve. We serve, so everybody can have that right, to be treated equal and treated fairly. So I had no problem with what Kaepernick did by taking a knee. But it all got taken out of perspective because everybody wanted to talk about he was disrespecting the flag. But Colin Kaepernick, he told everybody exactly why he was taking a knee. He was taking a knee for injustice, things that he's seen, the people are not being treated fairly, and it happened to him and he's seen it happen to others. And he did it for injustice, but the spin turned to where he was disrespecting the flag. And actually, it was a military vet, an army vet, that suggested, because Kaepernick was taken, he was just sitting down, but it was a military vet that suggested to him to take a knee, as a show and a sign of respect. So I completely support what Kaepernick did, and I wish people had got on board before. But hey, what's going on today? It seems like people are really realizing, what he was doing. And again, I'm definitely all on the board on what he did and just doing that.
Yeah, man. Because I know out here in Denver, they that season, it was talks that he might get traded out here to Denver. But he ended up not accepting the trade because they wanted the pay cut and all that. And I think out here, that definitely won the flu out here because of the way the people are here in Denver. And I found on that a little bit more. But X, your team had Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long up there who basically sided with Kaepernick at the time. I ain't gonna say sided with him, but, you know, they was basically, you know, supporting other things that had to do with social injustice. But what was your stance on it, bro?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Initially, and it took me a long time to come around to where Craig got to be initially. But initially for me, I didn't like it. But then I had to take a step back because I had veterans, you know, just as y'all said, that was like, hey, well, look, I mean, that's why y'all put the uniform on, right? So that we are able to do what we're able to do. But I think the whole thing with Kaepernick for me is that although he did come out, you know, and say why he was doing it, I think he could have been a bit more vocal. Like, there's a lot of movement and stuff going on right now, but, you know, Kaepernick has been quiet for a long time. And then on top of that, quite frankly, I don't know if y'all recall, you know, when he decided that I guess he was going to try out, you know, the NFL invited him. And then all of a sudden, Kaepernick decided that he wanted to change the venue because he wanted to get out his word. I think he could have been more organized. So
yeah,
I think if he would have been more outspoken, more better organized, I think it would have been easier for some of us to accept it quicker and then be able to get on the wagon.
Yeah, but I totally agree.
Craig. Hey, you know, whenever he was doing that and he was getting ready, he was going to sue the NFL, you know, and they went to court, and he won that lump sum of money. I'm sure within that court decision, you know, there was a non-disclosure agreement involved, and so once he won that money and got awarded that money, you know, he hadn't been able to say anything. So I think that was partially due to having that non-disclosure agreement.
Well, but I'm talking about even before then, Craig. And then on top of that, we got to be careful about saying he won. He really didn't win. They did a settlement. So there's a big difference between winning and settling. But yeah, I'm talking about before we got to that point. I wish he would have been better organized, and he wasn't. And he began to lose a lot of people because the NFL platform is huge, right? Like, it's hard to beat the NFL. And then on top of that, when people are asking questions, and he's being silent, I don't think that was cool. I kind of actually thought he took a step back. So that's my two cents.
I agree, X. I think if he would have been a little bit more vocal, a lot more people would have jumped on because people wanted to hear what he had to say. But I think Cap felt, I already told you guys why I'm doing this, and that should be enough. But I think if he would have been more vocal and expounded on, you know, what he wanted to get accomplished by doing that, I think a lot of people would have jumped on board. And I think his silence definitely hurt his cause, whereas
yes,
Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins, they were vocal about what they wanted to do and what programs they want to support, along with Anquan Boldin. So I think his silence did hurt his cause, but I think at the same time, people just weren't ready for what he was doing because it came like out of right field. And I know for me personally, at first I was like, UX, I was like, man, what is he doing, you know? And then once I heard him say what he was doing, I kind of jumped on board. But going back to when he was supposed to come out here to Denver, when they was trying to trade for him, if he would have did that out here, man, these people out here would have been so against him, even because he would have been the starting quarterback. So you know it would have been more eyes on him And just the way that Denver is set up in a way, I just don't think they would have been accepting of that. And I think he probably would have been getting booed at home. And I just don't think that's a good look for a starting quarterback, especially if he was going to be the starting quarterback out here. But if we fast forward a couple of years, last week we had the murder of George Floyd. Basically, you know, the cop would look like he was doing, I ain't going to say look like he was doing the same kneel as Kaepernick while he was killing this black man. So let's fast forward to last week, and I'm going to start with you on this one, X. When you saw the video, how did it make you feel?
Honestly, you know, when I was watching it, I was just like, wow. So we're just sitting here just watching this, right, people that were actually recording. Initially, yeah. I was kind of upset, but then I stepped back and thought about it, right? Like, if those people were to charge the cops, they probably would have got shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think honestly, the best thing that they could have done was continue to record. I mean, they were very vocal about, hey, you know, the man said he's choking. You know, you're choking him. And so, you know, but it just brought back, man, it just continued to remind me where we are, where we come from, and where we stagnated at. I mean, it was very difficult to watch. It's sad to say, but it's just like, you know, I don't want to say I get used to it or I got used to it, but it's just like, okay, here we go again. I mean, because we saw the same thing when it was recorded for the other guy that was in New York, right? I mean, same thing. So, I don't know. My feelings were just like, okay, here we go again, but what are we going to do from this point on? Because a lot of times we do a lot of jargon, and it lasts about a good couple of weeks or a month, and then nothing, right? But now this movement that's going on right now, I think this COVID, even though it's killed, what, about 100,000 people or so in the U.S., this might have been a cause, right? Because people are out of work, right? They don't have jobs, so they don't have anything to do. And now the focus, right, has been on George Floyd. So maybe this kind of, like, you know, was a little ignition, a bad way to go out, but probably at the same time, you know, in the long run, it might be worth it.
I mean, when I saw, I didn't see the whole video. I mean, I just saw, you know, when the cop was had his knee pressed against his neck, and you can just the look on his face, the arrogance, like, yeah, look, you know, I'm choking the life out of this black man, and guess what? I'm looking at y'all, and ain't nothing y'all gonna do about it. I'm gonna get off on it, you know. Ain't nobody gonna prosecute me. Like, what? This is what I do, and y'all can't do nothing about it. That's what you know got me fired up, you know, about it, because you know all the officer had to say was I felt threatened for my life, and guess what? That's the catch all to get away with whatever they're doing, and they're not being held accountable for it. And he knew he wasn't going to get prosecuted, but you know, with this movement like X was alluding to, you know, it brought everything to the forefront, you know, and now. You know, he did get charged. I mean, he did go to get put in jail, but now we just got to wait to those charges. He's going to be murder one, in the third degree or the first degree.
Yeah, man, I ain't going to lie, man. When I saw the video, I was sitting at my desk Tuesday when the video came out. And I have never, ever in my life been heartbroken and angry at the same time. I was heartbroken because, as us three are, we're veterans of this country. You know, we served, you know, to give people the right, you know, to live freely. I was heartbroken because policemen seem to take that freedom away from black people, people of color. I was angry because he was so emboldened to do what he was doing. Although he was on camera, he didn't care that he was being recorded. It was like his whole mindset was, you recorded me, and what? And he had his hand in his pocket. But I found myself the last couple of days, fellas, I know we can donate money and we can do like that. Even though we can do things like that, I'm not going to be one to go downtown and do the rally and march, because I already know that 9 times out of 10, they start off peaceful and they end up messed up. So I'm not going to do that. But I've been finding myself like, what can I do? What can I do to be part of the solution? I haven't found an answer for that. I'm hoping to find an answer for it. But that's where I've been at, man. I've been, like, really struggling with trying to be part of the looking for the solution to this. Because ever since Kaepernick actually took a knee, it seemed like this joint got worse. Since he took a knee, the president came out and said, I think the police are soft. I think they need to be more forceful. The police actually took that to heart. And they've been like, okay, well, it came from the top. So, man, I've just been, like, really struggling, man, with, like, what can I do to be part of the solution? I think at our age now, you know, especially with, like, me, I got grandkids now. You know, my youngest son is 22. And, man, I don't want them to have to go through their adult lives being in fear of the cops, man. I want them to better, you know, have respect for the police officers instead of living in fear of them. You feel me?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, you really kind of answered the question about how you've been feeling. You know, what can you do? I mean, if you know you're not going to be part of the solution, don't go down to a protest and be a part of the problem. And so, being that you're not there physically, at least right now you're talking about it. You know, you're trying to shed a different light, you know, on people that may see it one way, but now, you know, you're trying to get them to see, you know, just kind of put yourself in George's position. You know, imagine your son being put down. How would you feel? You know, to get people to see the empathy, you know, and what's going on. You know, you're actually doing it by actually openly talking about it. You know, and asking questions, and, you know, that's a good thing. Ask questions to understand. And then having a show like this, maybe somebody might be out there listening. They probably didn't see it this way. Like, you know what? You know, I mean, although I'm sitting here, I'm still doing something, you know?
And then,
yeah, I think you hit it on the head, Craig. I mean, go ahead.
But, X, let me throw it to you at this way. As you guys probably seen on TV this weekend, there's been a lot of white folks out there, man. There's been a lot
exactly.
of white people out there locked arms for this cause, man. So,
exactly.
X, I want you to go ahead and spout on, you know, white people actually being involved now, actually picking up this baton with us and trying to get it to the finish line.
Well, so I'm a little bit conflicted on this. So y'all know I'm a political science major, and I end up becoming involved in a lot of politics, political science with the DOD. So the reason why I say we got to be careful is because, unfortunately, the KKK, white supremacy, they actually have embedded folks, right, into these rallies that are going on, into this protesting. And
okay.
While it's great that, you know, we do have a lot of different ethnicities that have helped to join the cause, we got to be careful and keep our eyes and our ears open, because some of those same folks are trying to infiltrate what we're doing, meaning they're out here with the protesters. Yes, they're locked arms, but some of them are actually inciting, right,
yeah.
some of our folks to do some of this damage. Now, I'm not putting it all on them, but it has been well documented that they are definitely out here walking disguised as trying to do great work, but they're actually helping to incite, you know, all of this, you know, riot and looting and stuff that's going on. So
mm-hmm.
we just got to keep our ears open, eyes open, and you know, vigilant.
And I tell you what, I've actually seen a lot of people are recording that. I mean, exactly what actually alluded to. You got cops in there as well, and they actually was caught on camera going through and breaking windows and handing out bricks, you know, to people so they can go out and break windows. So actually,
yes,
you're absolutely right. So, you know, they're trying to hijack, you know, the purpose of what this protest is all about. But I mean, you know, it's still going on, and I'm glad that a lot of people are taking the time to actually record that, you know, to get that on tape and then staying focused, you know, because the focus is on bringing the injustice of, you know, George Floyd. So I like the way that they kind of get off of it for a bit to film that, but then they fall right back even in the interviews. You know, that's what I see a lot of young people. Notice I say young people, you know, on interviews are saying that exact same thing. You know, we want justice, and we see that there are cops out there. So they seeing it just like we're seeing it.
Yeah,
because
I know. Go ahead, X.
I was just going to say, I wanted to piggyback on what Craig was saying about you, man. Like, you're asking, you know, what is it you can do? And, I mean, you're already doing it, right? Like, this is a platform. You know, do you realize I've had several white folks, Caucasian folks, that have came up to me and were, like, literally saying, I don't understand what's going on. Like, people get killed by cops every day, right? And so initially I caught a little attitude, right? And then, you know, I said, you know what? When I get time, me and you going to sit down and have a talk. And the fact that they were willing to listen to me, right, and then say,
yeah,
I really didn't know that. But you're already
mm-hmm.
doing something, man. But I'm going to tell you something else. This upcoming election will be the most important election since 1861. And that's when Abraham Lincoln was elected. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of times we get hung up on the president, right, which is fair game. Yes, we need to vote. But we need to get out and vote in our local elections, right?
Yep.
Because voting in your local elections, that helps to set the foundation and the stage. And then when we get to these general elections, we've already taken care of the foundation, the groundwork. But so many people get hung up on the president. But the president is enabled, right? He's enabled by the other branches and by the people that are in his cabinet.
Yeah, because
hey,
I know
I'm gonna jump in because I mean I know you had said something and I couldn't wait to, you know, get it in because I don't want to lose my train of thought. You know, I'm getting old. But but when I do, you know, I had some, you know, my white brothers, you know, I call them my brothers because, you know, we served together. And, you know, we back and forth. We agree to disagree all the time. And this actually came up. And, you know, he was like, well, you know, like X alluded to, you're like, black folks get killed all the time. What's the big deal? And I was like, okay. I said, you know, but I didn't get mad because I was ready for this because now I want to have that conversation. And I asked him, I said, think of your closest person to you and put their face on George's face. And then you put another person that's close on George's face until you find out when it's enough killing to where you don't want to see it no more. And I said, and if you don't do it, it's because you can't imagine yourself doing that, or if you won't do it, that's part of the problem. So that's why you don't understand it. But to just marginalize and say, oh yeah, it's just another day. No, that's somebody's son. That's somebody's dad. That's somebody's uncle. That's somebody's boyfriend or husband, whatever you want to call it. That person is important just like the other person that got killed or the person that got killed before. I mean, there is no good number of black folks being killed, especially when they got their hands up, or most of them are in handcuffs with five cops on them. I mean, how can they threaten your life if they in getting pinned to the ground and can't move, can't breathe?
Yeah, because it's like what X was saying. It was a video. I'm not on Facebook. The only social media I do is a little bit of Instagram, but I'm heavy on Twitter. They had a video in Atlanta where it was like stacks and stacks of bricks on the sidewalk where it was going to be doing a protest at. and there was no construction like in sight.
Back
before telephones and stuff, we would have never seen those bricks being there. We would have been like, damn, they came ready. But no, the weapons were put placed there for them to use.
Strategically and, placed there.
Yeah. And last night, you know, I was looking at the one in Seattle. And the one in Seattle, you know, the police had it fenced off. And, you know, it was a fence between them and the protesters. The protesters really weren't advancing or nothing like that. And it was one guy, I think he may have got pushed into the fence. Man, next thing you know, man, the cops are throwing the tear gas, the whatever they are into the crowd. And it was like those, they were really being peaceful. They weren't trying to advance or be aggressive towards the cops. And it was like the cops kind of overreacted, in my opinion. But,
right.
You know, we sitting here talking about, you know, what's going on in society. And I always like to tell, I was on Twitter and somebody was like, why are you so angry? And I was like, you know, black people and Mexicans are the only ones that tell their kids when they leave the house to make sure that they do this, this, and this so they can get back home safely. I was like, I know my homeboy, Brad, that live across the street from me, I know he would never tell his two sons that, because guess what? They white. Yeah. What they got to be feel threatened for? I say we, as black people, we always feel like something might happen to us when we get pulled over. You can get pulled over in the broad daylight, and you still sitting there like, man, please just let me get home to my family. And I told my son that last week. I told my oldest son, Dominique, y'all might not remember Dominique. Dominique was real little when we was in at Spokane, but he down there 30 now. I mean, we was in Okinawa, but he down there 30 now. And I told him the other day when I saw the George Floyd video, I called him. I did not text him. I called him. I say, son, if you ever get pulled over by the cops, have your paperwork ready, your hand on the steering wheel, and get back home to your family. That should be the main thing going through your head, is getting back home to your family. Not being the man to get the last word in, not trying to be macho. None of that flies. None of that flies. Get home to your family. And that was my words to him.
Right. I mean, this was going on. I mean, I'm going to just tell you this. Hey, I'm from Mississippi. So this thing just started happening. The only thing that's been changed is now it's being videoed.
Yep.
This has been going on for a long time. And, you know, and the sad part is a lot of people are like, oh, you pulling the race car. What were you doing? Well, what were you doing? I'm like, well, to go the speed limit or go under the speed limit and then get pulled over, and the guy, and I got my hands up, and then the cop just shoots you anyway. What can you tell your kid, you know, when you do that? They've done everything right. They pulled over. They throw the keys outside the window, hands out the window, paperwork right there together. Yes, sir. No, sir. You know, being very respectful. And then the cops are shooting them anyway. So, I mean, what can you tell your kid when they leave the house? I mean, I'm a grown man. I feel that same way every time I go out. I mean, there was a cop behind me. I was just riding before I came on the show. There was two cops behind me. I'm sitting there shaking. I'm like, I'm looking at my speed limit. I'm looking in both mirrors to see if they got their lights on so I can make sure I'm ready to pull over. Dude, I'm scared. I'm scared just right to just a few minutes ago. You know, two cops, but they just turned off. I mean, but then the relief came on me when I saw them turn off, like, oh, no, they ain't going to pull me over. So, dude, that's
real. You can accept it. All right, X, I'm going to give you the last words on this, man. Then we're going to get to the fun part of the show. You know, man, speak what's on your heart, bro.
No, I just, you know, I was having a conversation with a young lady who was heavily into politics, and she made a statement that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I might be changing my mind. And her statement was that this upcoming generation, this generation right behind us, her words were like, you know what? They're going to be the ones to do it. And I was just sitting here, I was just like, nah, I don't think it's going to happen during my generation, during the generation behind us. I think it's going to be some generations way back, right? But
yeah,
the more and more I watch what's going on, but the key is going to be, can we channel that energy into voting, right? I mean, voting
yeah.
is so precious, man. But like we talked about, starting from the local going all the way up, I want to see if we can channel all of this energy that is going on right now, and will these folks actually go to the polls and start literally voting people out, voting people in. So that's what I'm interested to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, man. Like you said, man, this is an important election coming up for people that's listening to the show and the people that'll be listening to the show later. You know, get out there, exercise your right to vote. You have to be politically active. Get out there, start with the local. You know, you got to start with the local because your community is located within the local. And depending on how your community is ran, you might want to see some new leadership. So let's get out there and vote. You can be out there marching, do it peacefully. If you want to find something to do to be active in the movement that's going on right now, you know, do your research and do what you can to be active. Me personally, I want to do something that's not like front line, but something that's behind the scenes, and I'll do my research on that starting tomorrow. You know, thank you guys for that candid conversation. But this is why I really wanted to have a show probably a week and a half ago, because me, Craig, and X, our homeboy Dan, our homeboy Joe, Chico used to come through, our homeboy Q. You know, we used to have this meeting at the round table at Craig's house, and it was the game of dominoes that brought us all together. And when you talk about some of the fiercest competition that you could ever have on a table, when we got together, there was no holds barred. Except I always thought X and Dan played as partners. Me and Craig will talk about that later. But you know, our relationships was forged basically on those late nights on the round table. And I'm gonna come to Craig first on this, because basically we was basically at Craig's house a lot, and then we would come to my house. You know, after my wife had got employed, we would come to my house. But Craig, tell us about how you came up with the meeting at the round table, bro.
Well, what happened was, I mean, I know it's a funny story. That table, my neighbor was getting ready to throw that table out. And I walked outside. I'm like, dude, that's a good table. You know, I started feeling on it. I checked because I got some partners that we can definitely use this table. And guess what? I rolled that table to the house. And that's why it got deemed the round table. and then let me tell you a little bit about the round table. The round table was no joke. If you sat down, you had to have a co-signer to sit down at the round table. You're not just any blow Joe off the street, not going to sit at the round table. Who co-signed for you that you can play to sit at this table? And heaven forbid if you can't play. The rule is you and the person that co-signed got to get up from the table. And we're going to wait for you to walk out the door. So you knocked on that round table is no joke. And believe it or not, I still got that round table.
What?
Oh, I've been there.
That round table is still there, and I'm still enforcing the rules.
Yep,
man, I ain't gonna lie, bro. Craig co-signed me to play, and he was like, "Yo, man, we getting up tonight." And I had known X in passing, because you know he worked MPF, I worked finance, so I kind of knew X in passing. But I really didn't get to know X until the first night I was at the table. And I remember my first game like it was yesterday. Craig was sitting across from me, X was sitting behind me, and Dan wasn't there. Q was sitting in front of me. And I was like, all right, you know, all right, I feel all right. Now all I hear is, bow! One, two, three. What the fuck is going on? So that was my introduction to X. So, you know, man, X was like the most vocal person on the table all the time. And you know what? I'm going to let Federal X, you know, explain to y'all those meetings at the round table.
Man, look here. Those were some very important bonding times. I think that's what helped get us to where we're at now. But if you could sit down and if you could take the thrashing, the joke, I mean, the jokes were, hey, look, you're going to get joked. And if you're sensitive, you may as well just go and get up and leave. No, that ain't the table to sit at. Hey, Craig, shout out to the first lady, the round table, you know, for the food. You know,
yes, sir.
Q and Dan and Lebo eating up all the sausages.
How you going to go get all the sausages out of the red beans?
Man, we're going to get to that later, man. We're going to get to that later. Go ahead,
Look, man. The round table helps to build character, or rather, it helps to reveal your character. So, you know,
Hey, I appreciate the shout-out, man, but let me tell you, I've had some people to come over, so I call it social boning, you know, because I'm just playing, because there was nothing like what we were doing. I mean, these guys, they don't even follow the rules. They don't even care. They just throw out willy-nilly money. they don't even care. But every time the wife always asks, "Hey, have you heard from X and Dan and Lee?" Because man, she talk about that like it was yesterday. She'll do it every now and then. You know, as soon as I talk about playing dominoes, you know, she'll talk about, "Hey, man, have you hollered at your boy?" Those were some fun times. She talked about that all the time.
Craig, I want you to tell Lebo about the time when I came up to the crib and we played on the round table and. They really didn't know what was coming. They kind of got a real dose of what the round table was about.
All right, I'll go ahead and run with this one. It was my boy Larry. He's down in Florida. He retired vet. X came over, you know. I had to talk Larry. I said, "Look, man, my boy X coming. I'm telling you. I mean, I know you talk a lot of noise, but you ain't heard nobody talk a lot of noise like my boy X. Oh, I'm ready for him. I say, look, I mean, I couldn't get no fourth player, so it was just three of us. I'm like, Larry, you are not gonna talk X to death. I'm telling you, you can give it up. You're not gonna talk X to death. He's not gonna stop talking, and you're not gonna talk him to death. So,
you're not.
And you know, well, we didn't do our normal rule, Lee. You know, the first round, you don't score. we don't score. So, of course, I put Big Six out. No, Larry put Big Six out. And when Larry put Big Six out, guess who was sitting to his left? 1, 2, 3. All right off the bat.
Now,
this is going to be a long game. And how about X was treating Larry in third person? Hey, Craig, tell Larry I'm about to bust him. I'm like, dude, he's sitting right across from you. This is a round table.
you know what, man? That's the craziest part, man, because we were all super close, but when we got on that damn table, we treated each other like you was the enemy. Man, we did not care. I mean, I think out of the crew that we had, I was super tight with Dan as far as, like, me and Dan just rode together. I think I became Dan's, like, chauffeur, you know, because he couldn't drive. So I was basically, like, his chauffeur. So we became super tight. But me and Craig was always super tight on the court. But it was like, man, when we got on that damn table, you would think that we were all from, like, warring countries. Man, we were going to war up here tonight. And, you know, my question was, I was going to ask this, being that we all played ball, too. Did we go hard on the domino table, or did we go hard on the basketball court? I'll start with you, Ed, because I remember some of those Saturdays on the court with you.
Man, as much as I would like to say we went harder on the basketball court, you know, I thought about this, and quite frankly, I think we went harder on the round table because, yeah. I mean, first of all, you had to go through an initiation process. Like Craig said, you had to be vouched for. And then,
yes, sir.
Don't y'all remember? Sometimes you could win a game, but if you mess around and you get your name skunked or whatever, you don't
get out your first house.
Hey, man, look here. So, to me, I like the round table wars better than the basketball wars, although the basketball wars were great and fiery. But that round table, man, was just something, you know, because that got us a chance to not only – I mean, we were able to go to war with each other and still be able to socialize and still be able to have – like, we had some heated conversations at that round table. So there's so many things that went on at that table, man, that I don't think could compare to what happened on the basketball court.
Dude, we broke dominoes on the round table. You always had to have a spare set of dominoes because you never know when one's going to get broken.
I ain't never do that, man. That's one thing I never done. I ain't never broke a domino.
No, I done broke a couple. But I wanna go back to what X was talking about us, you know, about our bonds. I mean, what we did, you know, I think we surrounded ourselves, you know, by good people. And we always complimented each other. We didn't tear each other down. And now on the bone table, I mean, you talk crap. But guess what? You always would say, if you had played this, you know, that wouldn't have happened. So I think we always complimented each other. We never tore each other down. And even when we were feeling down, you know, you surround yourself by people that's going to always pick you up. They always got you back. I mean, they don't say what you want to hear. They say what you need to hear. I mean, you know, it's like X said, you can't have thick, sensitive skin, you know, when you're hanging around us. But I think we all learned that, and we just learned from each other, and just made us stronger and stronger. You know, we kept building. Hey, we could always go to, you know, to one or the other, you know, for advice. And again, they ain't gonna say what you want to hear. We gonna always say what you need to hear.
Hey, both of y'all remember right. That's where I met. And both of y'all remember, that's where I met my first wife, at the round table.
remember
her and Evan pulled up, they was on the street, and Craig, he had that little grass slope that you had to go down to get to the street. That's
right.
Where I,
yeah.
That's where I met my first wife, my first ex.
All right, so the crazy part is I have to agree, man. Even though me and Dan, we would go at it on the court because it was like Dan always thought he was always better than me on the court. Me and him would really go at it on the court. Remember, we was always guard each other. We would never be on the same team. Me and Dan would go at it. But I swear, man, on that round table, bro, when you going and we play cutthroat, it ain't no, even though I'm going to get to this in a minute, we play cutthroat. And it was all about you shutting the man down behind you and you doing what you can to win the game. And I think when I first joined the round table, I had never been so nervous playing a domino game that I normally play for fun that I'm like, damn, you got to prove that you can play. I'm like, damn, These motherfuckers really looking at you like, man, you better not come out here and stink it up. Man, because like I said, that first game, I remember that first game like it was yesterday, man. I think Craig ended up winning because I think X cussed me out because I think I made a messed up play so that he couldn't win and he ended up letting Craig win. And I'm sitting here like, you my man. Craig, your man. And you know we always got a saying, if you need help, raise your hand. Raise your hand. So, but you know, man, we had some hell of a times on that table, man, and it's crazy. I ain't gonna say it's crazy, but we all stayed in contact all these years. Actually, we found a new way to play dominoes online and still keep the tradition alive. But I gotta say, man, those 4 years at Kadena were the best 4 years of my military career, man. I was young, you know, still trying to figure out whether or not the Air Force was for me. Even though I had been in, I came in 89, I got there in 99. But it was forging those relationships with you guys. And, man, and then the super cool part was we would be up 2 o'clock in the morning playing dominoes, get up, go to work the next day, and be the best professionals on the yard.
Exactly.
And people didn't know that we was hanging out to 2 o'clock 2 or 3 times a week playing dominoes and then getting up going to work or getting up going to PT in the morning. But that was just something that we did, man. And for Craig, me and Craig was deployed together. And me and Craig, we definitely formed a bond during that deployment. And, you know, I ain't gonna say it was a hard deployment. It was actually pretty cake. But it was just being over there with somebody you like, you know. And, you know, me and Craig had an affinity for music. So, you know, me and him was super, super tight. But when we was over there, me and Craig put on Ares the Rec Center to put on a domino tournament. Yep. Needless to say, I lost in the first round. I don't know how Craig did, but I was like, I can't believe I lost in the first round. I think Malone, actually, you might remember Malone from Finance, the white dude that we ended up teaching how to play dominoes. I think he ended up winning the tournament.
Yeah.
But he ended up winning the tournament.
Wow.
And me and Craig, we was all at the beer tent by about 11 o'clock.
Wow.
Man. But yeah, man.
Yeah, those are some good times. You know, I still got those CDs you made for me, right?
Man, boy. Craig used to have me making CDs for him on the clock, man, while I'm at work. Because they used to have a gang of music on the server. I was like, Craig, man, you need some new music? So he's like, yeah, man, hook me up. So, man, you know, man. But, hey, man, talk about our relationships, bro. You know, how we done managed to stay in touch, man, for all these years, man. Forced through the game of dominoes, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, our bond was, you know, was founded long, you know, back in 99. I mean, again, you just want to surround yourself with good people. I mean, once you get with good people, I mean, you always want to stay with that people because, you know, you're going to learn something and they may learn something from you. And when you got somebody that's steady building you up, Porter telling you what you need to hear, I mean, you don't want to let those people go. I mean, real good friends are hard to find. And when you find them, you want to stay with them, you know, especially if they're building you up and you know they're going to be there for you at all times. So, you know, that it was a bond, and that's what keeps us going.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
I can't do nothing but echo your words, man. It's just, I tell you what, that round table, help forging those relationships, the way that we challenged each other. Because, you know, those that don't really know, I mean, dominoes is really, it can really be a challenging game because you're trying to concentrate You got me in your ear. You got somebody else across from you calling your names, all kind of stuff. And, you know, it really helped me to forge my competitiveness, man, because, you know, I only ended up staying, 2 years, a little bit less than 2 years at Kadena. Because remember, I got out. I left Kadena and got out for about a year or so and then came back in. But all of that helped forge, man, you know, competitive spirit and just, yeah, man, I can't even, you got to be
hey,
it like, sometimes, you know.
Man, when I look in the mirror, you know, I look at both arms. My left arm is just stronger than my right arm. I don't know why. You should. My left arm is strong. the person sitting to my left is subject to get have to put in the air, you know, because I will choke you. You're not gonna win. That's not a good spot. That is my arm is still strong.
So piggybacking on what Craig just said. Who is the one person that you hate playing behind?
Playing behind?
Yeah.
To be honest, I you know, because this person ain't going to be able to walk out the room, though, because his head is already big. his head is just going to swell and swell. So, to make sure my man can walk out the door, I'm going to go keep that to myself. I mean, I'm a competitor. And, you know, you always want to play against the best. And I tell you what, you know, when X is sitting to my right, I got to make sure I play my best game.
What about you, X?
No. Man, look, for real, like, man. Craig,
you and Dan used
monster,
to go at
bro.
It.
Yeah, but Dan, see, Dan, look, Dan is a little sneaky, conniving, you know, not Dan or nothing. Look, because, look, Dan would mess around and pass on purpose knowing he got to play. So, just like, wait a minute. You know, now that's how dirty Dan is. They call him Dirty Dan for a reason.
Oh, Dirty Dan.
He got a bone that would actually fit on the table, and that joker would knock. So you got to watch him. But I got
just to make sure
I
you don't win.
I got to give up to Craig, man. But because I'm gonna tell you something. Sometimes, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm probably the loudest at the table. And
you said
Craig
probably?
Can get down with the. Yeah, probably. But Craig can come back with the jokes and everything else, but when you look over and Craig a little quiet, oh, he quiet for a reason because he about to be the technician on your ass. And it's just like, you turn around
yeah.
and be like, damn, are you serious? So, yeah, I gotta give it up to him, man. Hey, I'm going to tell him I got to
I appreciate you.
I ain't even gonna lie, man, because I think the way our rules were set up, because we drew for seats, you didn't just sit down, you drew dominoes for where you sat. Our rules were so hard that, you know, the average person probably couldn't have survived on first photo on score. You got to score every round to count. You choose for your seat. But I think the person I hated sitting behind, because you never knew what Q you was going to get. You know, Q would be the defensive stopper. And then sometimes Q would be like Sherman Douglas to Derek Coleman. Man, so Q was like really, really hard to figure out. And I hated sitting behind Dan because he would always bring the basketball court to the round table. Oh, yeah, you scored a few points on me today on the court. So you know how this gonna go. How you gonna knock so that I can't score, I can't play, I can't domino. You gonna take a minus 50 on a bogus knock. Come on, bro. Man, it's like come
I'm
on,
telling
dog.
You, man. Dirty
man,
Dan.
Dirty Dan.
Dan.
But man, I tell you, I mean, it's just hard to compare, you know, how we, like you described, and how we played so hard and the way people play today. I mean, you can be able to play two games in about 15 minutes. But see, the way
Look,
we play, we might even 2 hours in one game.
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure I probably almost got into a lot of fights with folks because of my mouth. But them, you know, I can remember a couple of dudes where they just was just like, okay, you winning and you talking smack to me? Oh man, I remember so many fights, man. I don't know if any of y'all remember. Y'all remember Cool Evelyn's? That was Evelyn's cousin.
Sound familiar. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, I can't remember his first name, but yeah, Cool. That was his like nickname or something, whatever. But he was Evelyn's first cousin. Kind of tall, light skinned brother that wore like a flat. Yeah, he played ball every now and then, but he would play dominoes, but he loved playing Big Whiff more than he played dominoes.
Oh, okay,
but
okay.
I remember me and him. Yeah, we almost got into it in the day room one time. We was playing in the day room. We was playing hard, and I was talking so much. Y'all know I could talk some trash. And sometimes, you know, like, that's part of my game too, right? So I like us being able to connect online and play the dominoes online, but it's just not
but
the same.
It's the same.
Because you can't hear the mouth coming. You know what I'm saying? You can't hear,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you get the talking, you get the joking, then sometimes you be like, what the hell did he just say? And then that just throws you off your whole game.
It's so comical, man. I think my stomach muscles, I think I grew a six-pack just laughing at you guys. You would... X and Dan, they were. I mean, it's always new stuff. It's no, they're not gonna say the same thing. That if we can play 3 days in a row, they're not gonna repeat what they said. It's always new. I'm like, how do y'all come up with that material? As I can't stop laughing. And that's why my wife. That's why Roberta remembers it, because she's just laughing just like me. She don't even like dominoes, but she would sit at the table just to hear X and Dan go back and forth.
Man, X will have like two new fans every week. I'm like, what the fuck he be doing during the day? Is he at his desk writing down stuff he gonna use on us tonight? I mean, he will have like two new fans every week. But I know, during the time my wife was deployed, you know, I really couldn't really hang out as much, so I started doing the domino games at my house. And I know, man, it was great to have friends come over, man, help me out with my kids, because it was me and like four of them. And, you know, they was all little at the time. So when y'all used to come over, man, on Thursdays and Fridays, man, I would be like, man, thanks, bro. I really appreciate it. You know, because, you know, I had the tradition like Craig. You know, I ain't gonna have y'all come over and not eat. So, you know, I would cook for them, cook for you guys. But it was just that brotherhood, man, of, you know, somebody being there to help you out, man. Even though, you know, we was a family, and I will never forget those nights, man. Like the night that we was at my house when 9/11 happened. Guess what we was doing? We was playing dominoes, and we all just stopped the game, mm-hmm. and we was looking at it like, is this really happening? And I remember Dan vividly saying, "Yo, man, we about to go on lockdown." And the craziest story about after 9/11 was, I had one case of Heineken, and they was like, we can't buy no more liquor. Man, we choked on that one case of Heineken. Hey, how long we choked on that one case of Heineken? You can have one beer per night.
You ration out, take a little sip.
Man, we was on that one case of Heineken, boy. But, we definitely had some good times, man. And, you know, the military brought us together. And, you know, dominoes has kept us together.
Hey, man, sitting back doing all this reminiscing, it sounds like we need to have a reunion. And then
we need to get together.
Put that reunion on your podcast, because I'm sure everybody's gonna enjoy that.
Yeah, man, we need to get together, man. I think we all retired now. It's kind of crazy because I was thinking about Chico today. Man, last time I talked to Chico probably was Man, I want to say it was like 2007, 2008 maybe. I think that's the last time I talked to Chico, and can't none of us find Joe. And Joe was just too funny. That was ex-boy Joe. And Joe would just sit on the table and not say nothing. Bad counting and everything.
But he uses his fingers and toes,
man.
He still can't get the right number.
Man, boy, Joe could not. Boy, I know Joe used to hate when he get Domino.
Hey, because the mission just changed. You don't want your man out Domino. My whole focus is to make sure you don't keep Domino.
Yeah, man, but we always wanted him to count, though.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
and
man.
The funny part about counting, I can count somebody else's money like a champ. But like you said, boy, they put so much pressure on you to count your money, make sure you got it right.
I remember X used to take your Domino, and he was like, man, come on, man, 3, 6, 8, 10. I'd be like, come on, man, get my Domino back, man. Because, you know, we started counting by dots about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes, sir. I have no problem with that.
But look, man, you know, man, we done had a good time tonight, man, talking. You know, like I said, the first half of the show, we talked really, really serious. Second half of the show, you know, we talked about how we done formed our relationship. Our relationship was forged through the game of dominoes. And, you know, Craig, man, any last words, man?
I want to just say that thanks for, you know, for having us on the show. You know, it's good to go back and, you know, reminisce about, you know, what we did, what we've been through. But, I mean, if we reflect over those years, I mean, you know, we helped each other out, you know, through some tough times, you know, and we're still here together. So, you know, I think we're going to, you know, we need to continue this. You know, we actually definitely need to get together, you know, get back on that round table. But, I mean, I just appreciate you both. If I didn't tell you then, I'm going to tell you now. Hey, I appreciate you guys, man. Y'all helped me out, you know, got me through a lot of rough times. And, like I said, we just got to keep going.
That's right. All right, X, floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man, look, we've been together this long. You know, I definitely appreciate y'all. I mean, shoot, y'all done seen me through, two wives. Two exes now.
Is that why your nickname X? And you gotta scare potential ladies away by that nickname.
I know, man. I know, but hey, man, look. If I ain't never told y'all, man, I love y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. You know, it's all good. So, you know, hey, look. Y'all always got a place to stay. You come through here. So, yeah. You need to come back on home, man, so we can get up to Craig.
Actually, you know, that's actually the plan, dog. We actually looking at moving back east probably next summer, probably by August, September time frame after my daughter graduates from college. You know, that's one of our plans, moving back east, man. Probably about to Fayetteville, but Fayetteville is only 4 hours away from X and probably 6 or 7 hours away from you and DC, Craig. So, you know, that's one of the things we've been talking about. But, you know, man, closing, man, you know, man, you guys, man, great friends, bro, great brothers, you know, always been there, you know, if you need somebody to talk to, you know, you can talk to my brothers, Craig, X, Dan, you know, recently reconnected with Q. Me and Dan, we definitely have kept in contact over the years. X actually lives about 45 minutes from my mom, but, you know, Craig's probably about 3 hours on the road from my mom. But we're going to get together, man, and we're going to do this again. And, the military has definitely brought us together, but dominoes has kept us together. And in closing, like always, to my listeners, I always like to say live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest every day. tell somebody you love them, and have one good laugh. With that being said, Lee and Keys, with my two homeboys, Craig and Fed, tonight as my special guest host, signing off for tonight. Everybody have a good one. Be safe and take care of each other. Peace.
Peace.